Ladies and gentlemen, you are now entering the Decent Christian Talk podcast. Enjoy.
Decent Christian Talk, episode number 63. Hey, what's up, everybody? I'm Gabe Jones. This is a show by the fans, for the fans. Just like all of you, I am a fan of good Christian music. And today, we've got a great show for you today. Our featured artist today is a band called Dens. They just recently announced that they have signed with Face Down Records. We'll talk about that a little bit more later. We also have the return of the Decent Christian Talk podcast flashback of the week. We actually have some friends that are joining us starting today on this podcast from a production company called 13 Palm Trees Podcast Productions. They have been so nice and generous and have been putting together some flashbacks just for us. So check that out if you can. Check them out if you can at 13 Palm Trees Podcast Productions there on Facebook. And the album that they are covering today, Reliant K's Two Lefts Don't Make a Right, But Three Do. It's hard to believe this album is 15 years old. March 11th, 2003 was the date that it was released. And we are celebrating the release of that album today. Before we head into the Dens interview and before we head into the flashback, we need to talk about our Patreon page. Guys, unfortunately, it does cost money to run a podcast. It costs money to host these things online. It's kind of like paying rent to host things online. But with your help, we're able to keep this show on the air. For as low as a dollar a month, you can join our team on Patreon. That's patreon.com/decentchristiantalk. You can join our team for as low as a dollar a month and help keep this show on the air. We can't stress this enough. We are still on the air because of you guys, your continued support. And we would just love if you would come along and join us and join our team. Not only does that help with our production costs, our hosting costs, but it also keeps our equipment upgraded and, you know, just helps us sound better for you guys. So we would just really greatly appreciate it if you could check that out if you haven't already. Again, that's patreon.com/decentchristiantalk. If you would rather do a one-time donation, you can go to decentchristiantalk.com, and at the right-hand side of the website on your desktop, there's a donate button that you can donate a one-time donation. Thank you guys so much for those that have already done it. Hey guys, we greatly appreciate you. You keep this show running. You're awesome. And we would just really, hopefully, you guys would consider joining us so we could continue to put out some great shows for you. Hey guys, we're going to head right into the flashback of the week. Again, it's Reliant K's Two Lefts Don't Make a Right, But Three Do.
In the year 1998, in the small town of Canton, Ohio, a group of teenagers, Matt Thiessen, Matt Hoops, and Brian Pittman started a band named after Matt Hoop's car, the Plymouth Reliant K. The Christian rock group recorded the demo that started it all work and no play, with the help of Mark Lee Townsend, the live guitar player for DC Talk. This eventually led to Reliant K signing with Goatee Records, the record label of DC Talk's very own Toby Mac. Popular hits by Reliant K such as Lion-O, My Girlfriend, My Good Friend Charles, later known as Charles in Charge, and Softer to Me, were first seen on their demo, All Work and No Play, and were released in their remastered glory in later albums. Reliant K shook the Christian music industry by introducing a satirical twist and pop culture reference to biblical principles, all with a mainstream pop punk and alternative rock twist. Finding a Christian and commercial success with songs like Hello McFly, Pressing On, and Sadie Hawkins Dance, Reliant K was finally prepared for their third album. In March of 2003, Two Lefts Don't Make a Right But Three Do, commonly referred to as Two Lefts, was released with four different covers, all depicting different scenes of a car accident. A fifth cover was released in November of 2003, depicting all of the four cars found on the previous covers in a junkyard. This version of the album was released in a combo pack with the popular Christmas album Deck the Halls, Bruise Your Hand. Two Lefts Don't Make a Right, But Three Do mix things up a bit, combining the softer, sincere songs of the previous album, Anatomy of the Tongue in Cheek, with the fast-paced music and purposeful lyrics that put Reliant K on the map. The Two Lefts album was a Grammy nominee for the Best Rock Gospel Album and won the Dove Award for Modern Rock Album of the Year in 2004. On March 21st of 2005, this album was officially certified gold, selling over 500,000 copies due to the popular hits such as Forward Motion. College Kids. Mood Rings. Let's get emotional girls to all wear mood rings. I Am Understood. You looked into my life and never stopped. And you're thinking all my thoughts are so simple. In Love with the 80s. Getting Into You. I'm getting into you because you got to me in a way we can't describe. Jefferson Aeroplane. And Chapstick, Chapped Lips, and Things Like Chemistry. In 2006, Reliant K released a special gold edition of Two Lefts Don't Make a Right, But Three Do, which remixed and remastered the audio of this smash hit, bringing it a little closer in tune to Reliant K's follow-up hit, Mm-hmm. Since the year 1998, Reliant K has released 11 studio albums, including their latest, Air for Free, in 2016. While the band has seen its fair share of lineup changes, both Matt Thiessen and Matt Hoops still remain with the band, producing new content and touring regularly. You can find Matt Thiessen and his side project, Matt Thiessen and the Earthquakes, on tour with Owl City.
That was our flashback of the week, Reliant K's Two Lefts Don't Make a Right, But Three Do. Again, thank you to 13 Palm Trees Podcast Productions for putting that together. Some really good sounding stuff there. Man, this album came out, I think I was a junior in high school when this album came out. This was their third record. You know, Reliant K for me was a band that really came into their own around their fourth release. I think it was their fourth release. Mm-hmm. Was that fourth album, and but this record really resonates with me because of the time period that it came out. You know, being in high school, a lot of times we look back at that time and we some of those songs just bring back a lot of fun memories. And I'll never forget driving down the road in my 1988 Subaru wagon with Chapstick cranking. And I actually saw that band, Reliant K, that summer in Hershey Park. And it was at the Creation Festival there. And, yeah, you know, I've gotten to see them a lot over the years. And it's really fun to see how they've grown, you know, as musicians, as songwriters. Two Lefts Don't Make a Right, But Three Do is an important chapter in that band's legacy. And that's exciting to go back and listen to that. Hey, speaking of Creation Festival, we've got Dens on the podcast today. Dens was actually the 2016 Creation Festival Spotlight winner. They have a Creation Festival does a contest every year where bands can submit their entries, and the one lucky winner gets to play on the main stage on Saturday night. And Denz was that winner in 2016. And here we are in 2018, here in May, and we got an announcement that Denz has joined the Face Down Records roster. This is an awesome record label full of great bands such as Comrades, War of Ages, Sleeping Giant, Extol, My Epic, Deathbreaker, just to name a few. They get Denz now as a part of this roster, and I'm excited to hear more from them. They just released a single called Dead Rise. You can hear that anywhere you can stream music, including Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon, wherever you listen to music. I would encourage you to check this band out because they are one of the up-and-coming bands in Christian music. Without further ado, here is our interview with Denz.
All right, hit that horn, babe. Let's dance.
Okay, so you guys are the 2016 Creation Fest Music Tournament. What's the official title?
Reigning, defending champions of the world.
We gotta defend it. Oh boy.
You're only as good as your last victory.
I totally want a belt. You've got to have a belt.
I think we need to get with him on that because we didn't receive those belts.
That would be nice. So you guys were playing the Fringe stage this year. What has this last year been like for you guys since that amazing knockout victory?
Crazy, man. Running all over the place, trying to work on new music, new album. We're working on that now. Playing as much as possible. We've got a couple of runs this summer. We're playing, obviously, here, and we're headed up to Audio Feed and setting all that up for the summer. And got a couple more festivals we'll work, got in the mix.
Yeah, we were able to, produce and release a music video for our song Hopebringer, and announced that we had joined the missional organization Come and Live.
What has the festival scene done for you as a band? Like, you won a contest last year, and you're talking about going to other festivals. Are you building a fan base? Just like,
yeah, definitely. So playing and winning the tournament last year has definitely opened up some more opportunities, as well as other festivals. I know it sounds funny, I guess, because a lot of bands don't really use this word, but I mean, it gave us credibility, which was great. It was an awesome opportunity that we still can't believe that we won.
Yeah.
But it really did open a lot of doors for us.
Well, yeah, I'll say this too, like, a lot of what we do in terms of our ministry has to do more with getting into a secular venue, like a bar or what have you, and then sharing the gospel from stage.
Yeah.
And so, like, that's a pretty big difference between what happens there and what happens in a festival like this. And it's really, for me anyway, it's very encouraging. It's like we come here and play, and a lot of times it's for believers, maybe not all believers, still share the gospel, but we kind of get energized from it, so then we can go into those other places.
There's an affirmation.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, that's going to be tomorrow night.
Right.
We've got a gig in Canton that's a bar with bands who, I don't know what their spiritual state is, but you know, I would assume that there are people that are at least watching that are not believers. It's cool, like you said, we get the energy, as weird as that sounds right now in my current state, energy. From this spiritually, and carry that over into where we're going and what we're doing.
With all this like added stuff that's going on, how do you guys, for lack of a better word, stuff? How do you guys still balance being? Because I know two of you are pastors. I know you guys have families. I mean, how do you guys balance that without like going crazy? I guess. or has that already happened? Okay, there you go.
So being as strategic as possible, you know, it's hard sometimes to weigh a ministry opportunity against a, you know, Christian festival where there's a couple thousand people, or ministry opportunity where, you know, there might be 20 people there, but you know that that's a dark place. You know, we haven't had to exactly make that, you know, decision, but it's stuff like that, you know, like, you know, we got to balance family, like you said, work. We all have full-time jobs, and so try to be strategic, you know, social media stuff, music video, and to try to keep that energy up where, you know, we can't be touring on the road, you know, 200 days out of the year.
It's just as much a full-time job to do all of this.
Yeah.
Well, and like for example, we played worship music as a worship band, not as Dens, for 5 years, and we just didn't really put strategy behind it. You know, we would do the camps here and there, the weekend things here and there, and then, you know, when we did Dens, you know, within that year we came out with our record in early 2016, and then, you know, started hitting up like the Creation Fest, and then that was able to get us on the tournament, and then we come here and win it, and then that opens up. So it just kind of what we were doing for 5 years, and then kind of changed some strategy around that. We're still, you know, we're not digging it out on the road, you know, every single night, but we strategically did different things.
Yeah.
The last album you guys did is called From Small Seeds Come Giant Trees, which is kind of like a concept album, which I love concept albums. Did it start out like that? Like, did you plan on making it a concept album, or did just
nope.
gradually...
It's just going to come right out.
No,
next question.
No, So, like he said, we were doing the worship stuff, and so we sat down and we decided, like, hey, we need to write a new album. And that album is what came out, and we all kind of decided, like, you know what, like, it is a worship, but maybe not a corporate worship album.
It's very distracting.
I mean, for me, just on a personal note, I think we came in that album thinking, like, we want lyrics that are catchy and that people remember, but we also want some depth behind them. Good theology. And you know, so like in the process of doing that, like just what came out was less of a corporate kind of thing and more of, hey, like, this is who God is and we're worshiping in this way.
I'll explain it like this, and I don't really know another way to explain it. With the music, with the titles, with everything that came out, with everything that we've been able to do as a band has completely been, I mean, sincerely been God-directed. And it was like we had somebody do a review of our album, and they wrote things, and I read it, and I'm like, I didn't even know that about it. That's so cool. Like, you know, like all the listings of the song titles, like attributes of God. Like, I think I kind of knew that in my mind, but that was not the plan. To be that, and they're like, man, this just makes so much sense. It's the attributes of God, and like all this kind of, and I'm like, wow, cool. Like, so, I'm learning about my own music.
So you're saying it's a fluke?
Yeah.
Well, and like this too is like, you know, when we would play before, I'd go up on stage, we'd play, and like if I like felt like that was rough, like I'd come down there, you know, that was affirmed to me, you know, by my wife or other people, like, that was a little, yeah, or him.
Or him.
But like, you know, like now when we play, I still feel that, but for some strange reason, they're like, man, it sounded incredible out there. I was like, it sounded like junk where I was.
Oh, Lord.
I was like, I didn't play the right note, I didn't sing the right note, but I don't know, it's just kind of been this thing of like, we just kind of show up and we're willing to work and do the work. As cliche as it sounds, God kind of does the rest, kind of takes care of the rest. He kind of brings in who he wants, and he lets them hear what he wants them to hear.
What's interesting is I think even when we were doing the worship thing, although you, I mean, I'm not saying you made it sound like we weren't trying, but like it was almost, I mean, we were putting in a decent amount of effort, but then it was like when we just stopped doing that and just let go and.
Yeah.
Just, you know, we were just ourselves, you know, like the record we wrote was the music that we like to play, that
we
enjoy.
Something you loved. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah. We just kind of let go and did it. I mean, and with the thing that we were doing before, we had been in bands before that and just been around so many bands that picked up on so many things we just didn't like. And when we did that, when we did the worship stuff, we were like, we tried to be the anti-band.
Learn from their mistakes.
Yeah. Well, and we tried to be so anti-band that it kind of chained us down. It was kind of a weight. And so we were like, you know what? Let's do the things that bands should be doing, right? Yeah. But let's also not do this, and this that we see.
Was the change in attitude more, we just want to play our own music, so we can also bring people in, like you said, you're playing in bars and places like that. And before, did you maybe feel pressure that certain kinds of music is on the radio?
I think
it's harder.
There definitely is a pressure, I think, to be marketable, and there's a certain type of music and genre that sells the most records. And you know what? Like, that's cool. Like, love anybody that does that. Like, that just wasn't necessarily us. And I think at the end of the day, like, so I love to study theology, and I really wanted to write music that reflected my love for theology, and like wasn't necessarily super cliche. And so like when we sat down and wrote lyrics like that, there was just no way it was going to be necessarily like a radio friendly song. And we kind of made the decision together that was okay. Like, we were going to write the music, and
guys, like the song Teeth Breaker comes out in Psalms, where David writes that God will break the teeth of the wicked. Like, he will punch them in the face and break their face. I mean, it's like what he's saying.
Yeah.
And so, like, you know, you couldn't write a major 4-chord, you know, corporate worship song about God breaking the teeth. It just didn't work. And so, you know, it just...
Raise your hands.
Clap
along.
Yeah. Everybody rise. Yeah. Yeah.
Which was a very biblical message.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, it's in Psalms.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But why do people like to forget about that kind of stuff too?
Sure.
Well, and that's the thing too, is like, so many times we focus on, you know, God is love, right? We hone in on that, and so many, we do that so much so that we forget the bigger picture, that God is also judgment, and God is also wrath, and God does have anger, but God is also love, and God has grace.
Mm. The gospel has both.
Right. The gospel
that
has both.
We deserve wrath, but the Lord sends Christ to take care of us.
And I think that you have to be brought to a point where you understand that wrath and that anger and that judgment to understand
the weight
of grace and love.
Hmm. Yeah.
Getting away from the lyrics for a second, you guys sound really amazing live. Like, that's one thing that is a big takeaway for me, is just how tight you guys sound live. A lot of bands can do that live and can't capture that in the studio for whatever reason. How important is that to work at that and get that sound in like an MP3 format, I guess?
Well, that's kind of how we feel. I mean, yeah. Sometimes I kind of feel that way. Of like, and we've been told that, like, you play really good live, you know, the CD doesn't do you justice.
Yeah.
To be honest, I mean, it's producer, it's studio. I mean, it's people being on board with your vision. You know, we recorded on our own before, and you know, you've got to have a team. You know, maybe not necessarily a team to write the music, but a team that knows how to get. Knows how to get your sound.
Well, and I think even that, like, it's not like we go into a studio and like, all right, I'm just gonna track drums today. Like, I feel like we were all involved with every aspect of like everybody's parts, and like, you know, even, I know it sounds funny, but like capturing the energy live on the drums instead of just like playing. You know, there's just something about playing together on stage and that chemistry. That it is hard to reproduce on a record. That way it doesn't feel... Sometimes it feels sterile, you know, sometimes when they do that. And it's like, yeah, I mean, you're almost like, man, that could be a drum machine, you know, playing or something.
Yeah.
But I think doing that, I mean, we were all there for each one of our recording parts, as well as, like, Sean and I went to Nashville and worked with a producer, which was our first time actually working with a producer one-on-one. And... you know, he coached us on a few things, and I think really pulled some stuff out of us. And you know, that was awesome. You know, so
how can people get updated with you guys when you guys are playing shows, maybe new music coming out? How can they get in touch with you guys?
Facebook. So yeah. It's Den's Noise.
Okay.
So, and then our website is densnoise.com.
With a Z.
No.
Not with a Z.
No.
I'm sorry. I'm trying. I just want to make sure
they
know.
Speaking of losing credibility.
No, dude.
Has anyone ever confused you guys with, like, dense, like, the matter particles?
That's hilarious.
I noticed today that...
or Denzel Washington.
People ask us, like, all right, what band are you with? Dens. What?
Do your wives call you Dens?
Like a den of...
Yeah,
Dens.
Yeah.
Lions, kind of what we are.
Wow, I haven't heard that one yet. Den of Snakes. I would not want to roll up on that.
I would think more of a
new
hit.
Album title.
Yeah.
That Den of Lions.
Yeah.
Well, you know Daniel and the Lions, Den.
Yeah.
That's true.
Well, thank you guys for your time. I really appreciate it. I know we've been trying to get this done for a while, but.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah.
Hey, man, thanks for having us.
Better late than ever, right?
Yeah. I threw myself into.
That was our interview with the newest signee of FaceDown Records, Dens. Once again, they just released a single called Dead Rise. They also released a single not too long ago called Will You Keep Out All Sadness? And this is kind of in support for their EP that's coming out on June 29th entitled No Small Tempest. We talked a lot about in the interview about a record called From Small Seeds Come Giant Trees. This was their latest full-length release that came out 2 years ago, 2016. You can check that out again anywhere you can stream music, including Spotify, Amazon, and Apple Music. Again, No Small Tempest is an EP that they are releasing June 29th, so be on the lookout for that. And again, follow them on social media, including Facebook, Twitter. You heard what they said in the interview, and I would encourage you to follow this band, check them out, and support them, and try to go and see them if they come near you. They sound incredible live, guys. I would not lie to you about that. That kind of wraps up that portion of the show. We would just encourage you to go check out decentchristiantalk.com. We post every single podcast on the website. If you hit the subscribe button on there, give us your email address, you'll get a notification every time we post, and that is completely free for you. We are also on Facebook, just like Dens. We are on Facebook, Decent Christian Talk, and there's a Decent Christian Talk podcast discussion page, which has been getting more active lately, and that's exciting. We're also on Twitter, where this all started, DC Talk Act 2. And on Instagram, DC Talk Podcast. Hey, speaking of DC Talk, they just announced that they are going back on the Jesus Freak Cruise in 2019. And that's exciting to hear that band is getting back together. We'll probably have more on that later, but I just wanted to make sure we threw that in there. Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us. I can't believe it's May. I can't believe that the weather is finally warming up and the summer festival will be commencing quite soon. It's hard to believe. Hey guys, we will catch you next time. Peace.
Don't forget to tip your waiters and waitresses. Thanks.